Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Thank you, Jim and worship team, because He does love us. And we're going to see that this morning as we open His Word. If you have your Bible or your device and want to go to the passage that we're going to be in, we're going to be in Psalm 22 most of the service. And we're going to be talking about just what I shared a while ago during our prayer emphasis about the idea of praying the prayer of lament. When things aren't going good and we still need to talk to God. And that word, lament, is actually the title of our message this morning in the Hebrew. And it means cry out. Cry out. And crying out can look a lot of different ways. For some of us, that's sitting in silence and just crying because of our circumstances. We're crying out when that happens. On the other extreme of crying out, it may mean that we're raising our fists and we're screaming and hollering at God because of our circumstances. And when you look at the prayers of lament, the psalms of lament that we have in our Bible, and there's over 30 of them, which is 20% of the psalms are psalms of lament. Many of them by David, when he's doing exactly that. He's upset. He's angry. He's mad. He's confused about what's going on in his life. And he needs to cry out. That's the prayer of lament. You know, life is heavy. As I was finishing up my slides, I filled in those circumstances of what makes life heavy from my own personal prayer list. I didn't even have to project, okay, what are other people going through? I can just look at my prayer list and think about loss in people's lives, that they've lost loved ones through death, that relationships, they've lost relationships, that business partners, husband and wives, children, jobs, there's loss. And in that loss, there's pain that plays out as physical and emotional. There's hurt. People have said things that have hurt us in a relationship that we thought was close and intimate. And that hurt could be physical. They're dealing with a sickness, cancer. And then you can keep going. There's sadness. There's regret. There's disappointment. All of those things prompt us, or should prompt us, to talk to God about them. Because life is heavy. The elements of the model prayer. It's what Brandon and Joy talked about 2 weeks ago. We talked about Mike led us through praying last week as a corporate body with gratitude and worship. As I said earlier, I think we're good at that. We can say thank you, God, for what you've done. We can ask for those things that we need each day, our daily bread. When we know we've messed up, we seek forgiveness. And when we're tempted, we can go to God and say, God, protect me from that temptation. But I think we're all challenged with what Brandon said 2 weeks ago about the rule of the kingdom when we're asking for God's kingdom, because we don't always understand God's kingdom and what He's doing and why we're in the midst of the circumstances we're in. That's lament. Lament is spiritual honesty. God, this is how I feel. God, this is what I'm thinking. God, this is where I am. It's being honest about those things. You get to interact with God as you are, not as you think you should be. See, so often as Christians, we think, well, you know, I can't, you know, I've got a model to continue to put in front of everybody else that I'm a Christian. I'm trusting in God. And sometimes we're just not there. God wants us to talk to Him, be honest about our circumstances. You get to pray as you can and not as you can't, is what Brandon said 2 weeks ago. You know, we have an expectation of believers, this is how I should talk to God. But you just can't. I mean, all you can do. To share your pain, your loss. Lament is also spiritual protest. God, this is not the way the world should be. You told me to pray for your kingdom to come. Why isn't it? But see, that's what we don't understand, but it's okay to talk to Him, be honest with Him. Protest what we know to be true. And then, ultimately, lament is a cry of belief in a good God. And I'm going to show you examples of that as we get into the Scripture. God, you promised never to leave me or forsake me. That's true. He hasn't. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken me, even when it feels like that. When you lament, you're praying God's promises back to Him. That's a good habit to get into. It's what David did, Jesus did, when he would talk to his Father. And you're reminding yourself that he is good and will keep His promises. God has never, not one time in the history of man, broken a promise He made to us. Not one time. Doesn't mean it doesn't feel like He has, or our circumstances tell us that maybe He did, but He never has, ever. So we can cry that in a belief. God, I believe in you. I trust you, ultimately, in what's going on in my life. During times of pain and loss, the biggest leap of faith we may have to take is to cry out to God. That may be all we can do. But when we do that, we're making a step, a leap, as it says on the screen there, of faith. And that's all we can do. That's the only leap of faith we can make. So I'm just going to cry out to you, God, in the midst of my loss and my pain. And then God welcomes our cries and doesn't scold us for expressing our pain. And I think often that's the way we feel. I can't be honest with Him. I'll get in trouble for talking to God that way. No, God welcomes that. We, in contrast, might have to give ourselves permission to let out our thoughts and feelings. For some of you to pray a prayer of lament, you may have to give yourself permission to do that. See, God's okay with it. Often we're the ones that become the roadblock in making that connection through our hurts and our losses. Here's an example. Short little psalm. I want you to see how it starts and how it finishes. Psalm 13 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" When we're in the midst of pain and loss, that can be our prayer. Just the questions. How long is this going to last? But see, that short little psalm, David finishes it this way. "But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And seeing that word salvation there in the Hebrew, it's not us becoming a follower of Christ and being saved to go to heaven. It's salvation in the midst of the circumstance. That's what David is remembering and saying, but I trusted you in your loving kindness and who you are, the characteristics of who God is. So how to cry out to God? Here's the four steps of lament. I'm going to give you a way to follow this and continue to pray in this way when you're in the midst of pain and loss. So the psalmists most often move through their lament in four stages. This is consistent. It was in Psalm 13. It's going to be in Psalm 22. And I'm going to give you an example of Jesus praying the exact same way. Those four stages are address, complaint, request, and expression of trust. You say, well, I don't know how to pray a prayer of lament when I'm experiencing these negative things in my life. Follow this pattern. And we're going to dig into this, see what it looks like. We see this in this pattern in Psalm 22. Address. David says, my God, my God. You may use the word Lord. That may be the circumstance that requires you to say, my Lord, or my Father, or my Creator, or God Almighty. Or you may pray directly to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. See, those are all names for God. Those are all real. So your circumstance may dictate how you address God. But in all of the examples in the Psalms that we see of prayer of lament, there's an address. You're talking directly to God. Just like you would somebody you know. You're calling them by name. And that's important. It shows there's a relationship. Then there's complaint. It's the next stage. From Psalm 22, verse 1 says, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. And then down in verse 15, he says, my mouth is dried up like potsherd, which is dry clay. And my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. David is complaining to God. Remember what verse 13 said? God, why are you forsaking me? He's feeling that way again in Psalm 22. He's complaining, and it's okay. He welcomes it, no matter what your loss or your pain or your hurt is. But for us, God's silence is so confusing when we're in the midst of it. So confusing. Because again, we want to know the answer. We want it to be taken care of. We want it to be fixed. We don't want to feel the hurt and pain, the loss anymore. But there's silence. And see, when you dig deeper into the idea of that Hebrew word that's used to cry out, the understanding of lament, there's also a derivative of that word that very much means wait. We never want to hear that. We have to wait. And in the midst of our waiting, it often gets confusing. God, you said this. It didn't happen in 30 minutes. It didn't happen in 2 days. It didn't happen in 3 weeks. I'm still waiting. But what do we do while we're waiting? We continue to talk to God about that. We persevere. We wait on him because we know he's trustworthy. He's faithful. He welcomes us to cry, to mourn, to lament. David didn't silence his pain, but instead he gave it to God. God, you can handle my pain. You can handle my loss. Take it. And then it progresses to request. Look what David says here in verse 19. Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the dogs. Rescue me from the mouths of lions. Save me from the horns of wild oxen. All of those are now requesting, God, this is what I need. This is what I desire in my life. This is what I want. So you request them. The more we train ourselves to turn to God first in a crisis, the more natural it will become. Because see, we often don't do that. We go to other people close to us. For a lot of us, is our first reaction or response to hurt and pain. Nothing wrong with that. But the more we let God be the first one to hear it honestly, clearly, we can begin interacting with him, and it's okay because he welcomes it. Because, you know, what a lot of times I've found when I take my stuff to other people, they don't understand. It's not their stuff. They're nice. They listen. But they're going, man, I don't know how to receive that. But God wants to receive it so we can give it to him. And it becomes like any other muscle. When we do it once, oh, I can do that again. Because here's what I figured out through all my years of living is that God's done a lot of things for me. He's been there for a lot of circumstances. And it becomes easier and easier to go to him first when we have crisis. And we all have them. None of us are exempt from that. The last stage of praying this way is an expression of trust. We saw it in 13. Okay? We see it again in 22. Verse 9 says, you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. David even knew at a young age that God had his hand on him, that he could trust God. I mean, we get to visually watch it when he takes on Goliath as just a young boy. We get to watch it. No, he's trusting in God. Even in his crisis, what am I going to do here? I'm going to trust God. And we get to watch David do that. Probably that's why we read in the New Testament that David was a man after God's own heart. That they were very tightly connected. There was an intimacy there, which we can all experience too. And he goes on to say in verse 22, I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. And he's talking about himself when he's writing that. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, and they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, us, he has done it. See, in that psalm, you get to watch these steps progress. He talks to God very personally. He complains to God very honestly and real. He makes his request. God, this is what I need from you right now. But then he acknowledges, my trust is in you. Mark Vrogop said this, every Christian has a record of God's steadfast love. Therefore, we should remind ourselves about God's worthiness to be trusted. To be a Christian means trusting in what God says and who He is. We came to faith that way. We trusted that the Bible is true. We believe forgiveness is possible for those who receive Christ. Trusting in God's grace welcomed us into God's family. But that was only the beginning. Christians don't leave behind trusting God after coming to faith. On the contrary, being a follower of Jesus requires that we walk through life in continual trust. Seasons of suffering are no different. See, we think about all those things where we trusted God, but then we get into those moments that we don't respond to Him first or primarily. But we should. That's our history. We've been able to trust Him, so I can trust Him with this too. David knew that no matter what he felt, God was with him. No matter what he felt, what his emotions were, what his physical ailments were, that God was with him. These four steps help our hearts and our minds grapple with the pain that we experience as we turn to, not away from God. Because that should be our response. And I wanted to give you this example of Jesus. Because Jesus, we get to watch Him pray a prayer of lament. And what I did with this slide, you can see the three passages at the bottom, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. I combined those. Okay, they're very similar. But I combined them so you could see in one slide what they're saying. And you see all these elements of praying this prayer of lament, just like we looked at David. But we also see Jesus doing the exact same thing. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. And he went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Abba, Father. He's addressing God there as Daddy. That's what Abba is. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, the request. Yet not what I will, but what you will. I want what you want. I trust you. In being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling upon the ground. Prayer of lament. Jesus did it. David did it. Now, if I wanted to take the time, I could have given you where Paul did it. It's part of the way we should pray. It's part of that model that Brandon and Joy talked about 2 weeks ago, that we all need to pray and allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to pray in that way when we need to. So, prayer practice. This is the application you're going to take with you. Pinning your own prayer of lament. How do you do that? Address. How can you best address God in the particular circumstance that causes you to lament? How do you need to address Him? We saw Jesus address Him as Abba, Daddy. We see David address him as, "Oh God, oh God." Complaint. Tell God what you're feeling. Don't hold anything back for fear of hurting or shocking him. Guess what? He can take it. Request. Ask God what you want him to do. And then tell him plainly and clearly. Don't just say, "Help me, God." Tell him what you want help with. Tell him what you need relief from. Tell him what you want to see in someone else's life that you're feeling pain with. Tell him. And then ultimately, the expression of trust. Name what you believe about God's qualities. It comes from your past, from your history, what you've experienced with him before, what you know Scripture says. Tell him. Even if you don't feel your beliefs at the moment. Have you ever been there? You know what God's word says. You believe it. You know, if somebody asked you, "Do you believe what God's word says?" "Yes." "Do you feel what you're reading there?" "I'm not sure I do." I mean, we even see the disciples, the apostles who followed Jesus regularly, daily, lived with him, asked, "Help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief." Sometimes we get to that point. You may need to educate your emotions, as David did. "I know this is the way I feel right now, but God, this is what you said. I believe that." And see, that's a more powerful statement and belief than what you're feeling. Our feelings mess with us. Mark Vrogop said this again. To lament is Christian. It's part of what we should be doing. As we turn to God in prayer, lay out our complaints, ask boldly, and then choose to trust. That's how we can cry out when we need to. You know, this message today is not one, you know, as I'm prepping, it's not one that I'm going, "Okay, now I need to sneak in, you know, a little zinger there so everybody will laugh and become comfortable and tell a good story." That's not what lament is. It's not fun, but it's productive and necessary as we engage with God for us to pray that way. Because the other ones come naturally. This one doesn't. It doesn't come naturally. But it's the model we see in Scripture when we're experiencing the pain and loss that we all experience. Let me pray with you and we're done. God, just like David, my prayer list is a list of pain, of loss. And I have to remind myself of what I've taught this morning. Remind each one of us that we can come to you with our complaints, our requests, but ultimately, you've proven yourself to us to be a faithful God and you've never broken a promise that we can trust in. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us your word. And help us to be honest with you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.